Are you tired of talking about Supreme Court and rulings and the administration and vaccines and everything? Oh, so am I. And that's why, you know, we take a break for the weekend and we get ready for a little football. Because, you see, that's how you disengage. And no better person to talk the NFL playoffs with than Mr. Scott Evans, LeBar, Washington base and everything else in his fine, fine career. And by the way, an icon of family members. With grandfather Bert Lee and father Goff LeBar, and they were so instrumental. Look up those names. That's how instrumental they were in the business. And the grandson of Bert Lee is joining us right now. His name, of course, Scott Evans LeBar, and we welcome him. You are an iconic figure of family members there, sir. Congratulations, and how are you?
You're too kind, Jay. First question for you and your listeners this morning is, are you ready for some football?
Yeah, I am ready, man. I'll tell you, after this week,
who isn't?
You know, and what you need right now, you see, you got six games. And by the way, keep a divorce attorney handy because, you know, that's what it is. It's like doing nothing and just watching the games. And it all starts tomorrow at 4:30. But listen, before we start, don't take it lightly. You are the grandson of the great Bert Lee. Your father was Goff LeBar, okay? And, you know, Bert Lee, and you've been telling me some unbelievable stories with Bert Lee and Marty Glickman and everything else and a great history. Can you share a little something with the audience? Would you mind a little something? I mean, you got some great experiences going on there. Give me something. Give the audience something.
Absolutely yes is the answer to that question, Jay. I've got two stories that come to mind. The first one is my father was attending a New York Giants football game at the Polo Grounds with my grandfather, my late grandfather, Bert LeBar. Bert Lee was his radio name.
Right.
General manager and sports announcer. And I went by Bert Lee on the air. And they're at the Polo Grounds, and my father's in the broadcast booth with my grandfather, and he says, I have to make a pee-pee on the air. Gets out over the broadcast. The next week, that next week, they have a new rule at the Polo Grounds, no kids in the broadcast booth. So being the rebel that my grandfather was, and he gave me a little bit of that, too. I won't shy away from that comment. The next week, my grandfather's walking into the broadcast booth with my dad, and one of the security guys comes up to my grandfather and says, Bert, you just made a rule, no kids in the broadcast booth. My grandfather quickly hands his briefcase to my father and said, he's not a kid, he's a small person. So that's a great story, true story. The other one,
true story. That's funny.
And then the next one being, my father was a student of the game. He would watch three NFL games on Sundays. He would never miss. He'd go as many hours, 6 hours plus of back-to-back football starting at 1 o'clock. And if you ever called him on a Sunday, he'd say, don't call me between 1 and 10 p.m. I'll be watching football. And one particular Sunday, he had someone that he had hired to do a radio show, to do a Redskins show back in the day by the name of John Riggin, who I'm sure your audience is familiar with. And he comes over to my dad's house, and they're watching the game. And my dad starts noticing things before the announcers are calling him on TV. And John turns to my dad and says, Goff, you should be doing these games. You see stuff before the announcers do. And that's so true, especially when you think about the passing of the great John Madden and the insight he brought to the games and things that he made popular to NFL fans. And that's another great story that I just thought of preparing to come on your show.
That's a good one. Number 44 back in the day, the great John Riggins played for the Jets. And then he was traded to the Redskins back in the day, the Washington football team now, of course. That's a good one.
Hall
there. And it kind of, it kind of correlates to the great Hank Stram back in the day, what your father was able to do. Kind of prognosticate in a way. I always remember Stram on the cast. So he would always, when he was working with Jack Buck, the late Jack Buck, he would say, "Oh, Jack, he's running left. He's running left." You know, and the play would always transpire the way Stram called it. It was amazing. But your dad, you know, had that insight as well. That's something. Goff the ball. And it rubs off, chip off the old block with Scott. So good stuff there, my friend. Two good ones. Let's get into these games. What do you say? So
let's do it.
We got six.
Let's do it.
The first. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, let's do it. I'm going to follow your lead here and give you my thoughts on each game.
Natty, tomorrow around 4:30, the first of six. You got the Raiders with their miraculous win over the Chargers on Monday night a week ago. They've won four in a row, and I say this, Derek Carr, be careful. He's a MVP candidate, a leader of men. What can you say about Derek Carr? He's done some job, injury plague. You know, look at the Raiders all year, Scotty. You know, the situation as far as John Gruden, Henry Ruggs, that terrible accident. They had another guy, the cornerback, who was cited as far as drugs and whatnot. I mean, it's been one after the other. Injuries galore. You know, they've had the obstacles in their way, and they've gone around that. And then you have the Bengals, you know, with Joe Burrow, the great Joe Burrow, a team that could never win anything. But you know what? Putting all that aside, lousy ownership and everything else, I'm looking at a pretty good game here tomorrow.
I agree. At first, I had some definite thoughts about this game. I do think that the interim coach for the Raiders should be made the head coach. Stop the nonsense. Look what he's done this year. It's enough of a track record for me. And they should reward this coach for the Raiders with a 3-year contract to keep the momentum going. This is an interesting game because it's a game that probably has the shortest line attached to it of all of them. And I think the Raiders go down in this game. I like the home team. I like Burrow. I like the weapons that they have, and especially Chase Young. And I think they get it done at home.
So you like the Bengals at home here against the Raiders.
I do.
And the line is what? Is it? What's the line in this one, Scotty?
I think it's 3, maybe might be a little bit more. I'm not sure. I'd have to look that up. I don't have access to it at this moment.
I like, I like Cincinnati myself. I think, you know, they've been such a great combination all year between Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, great wide receiver, who'll probably win the offensive award for the year, offensive rookie of the year one. So I like the Bengals in this one myself. Let's go to the. It's going to be a good game.
It's going to be a good game.
No question.
It's going to be a close. It's going to be a well-fought game, but I think the Bengals come away victorious.
Yep, I agree. All right, afternoon game tomorrow. Night game tomorrow. All eyes on Buffalo and 8-degree temperatures. You have the Bills entertaining Belichick and the Patriots. Last time, if you remember, they were in Buffalo. You had all that wind. It was on a Monday night. They couldn't hardly play the game, but they did. And it went to New England. Buffalo got them back in New England a couple of weeks later, and here we go with a rubber game now. Where do you see this one? Is Buffalo a hot team at this point in time, and can that momentum carry them to victory? Go ahead.
I think Buffalo comes out victorious in this one as well. The weather conditions are going to be -2 degrees, but it's cold for both sides. Both these teams are used to playing in cold weather, so it won't affect them. There's 13-mile-per-hour winds being called for. It'll be a very chilly night. I just think that Buffalo's the better team, and Josh Allen will step up and find a way to win this game.
That and line, listen, I told you, I think the Bills are going to the Super Bowl myself. No one's picked them. You know, I keep hearing Kansas City, and, you know, listen, I like the Bills. They got something going here. They got a lot of momentum playing at home, cold weather, the whole thing. Here we go. Josh Allen has never played better all season. He's healthy. He's got a good running game going here now with Singletary. I like what I'm seeing here. I like the Bills in a big way in an annihilation game. Won't even be close.
Wow.
In my estimation, won't even be close. All right, let's go to the afternoon game on Sunday, 1 o'clock. The Eagles visiting Brady and the Bucks. Listen, Philadelphia, I mean, have they beaten anybody of any proportions this year? You know, they are probably the worst team out of all the teams that I see. And I mean, the Eagles are just disgraceful. As far as the way they've played, I don't see them putting up anything against these Buccaneers. What about you?
The line on this game is the Bucs minus 8. I think this game will not be close. I think Brady, and even if it is close, Brady will find a way to come out victorious. He's done it too many times. They're playing at home. I like the Bucs.
All right. Bucks indeed. I agree. I don't think it'll be close because the Eagles have showed you nothing all year long. Afternoon game. Now, here's one I'm looking forward to. You know, I think of all the games that are happening, it's the 49ers and the Cowboys. This is an interesting one to me. 49ers have given you that kind of smash-mouth football, right? Look what they did to the Rams. Who would have thought they would even beat the Rams in the final minute and change the way Garoppolo went down that field? But here they go coming into Dallas. You know, I think of 49ers-Cowboys, I think of the catch. Remember the catch? With a great tight end, Dwight Clark. The catch. Remember the great the catch in San Fran beating the Cowboys. This is a toss-up game, okay? A toss-up game, but I'm going to go with the Cowboys here. I'm only going with them because they're playing in their home turf. But I'll tell you, this is a team you do not want to play. Cowboys got them. It's going to be tough. I think they will eke it out here in the end. I like Dallas in this game. I think, you know, they got some points and momentum offense going over the last couple of games. I like the big D here. Go ahead.
I want to agree with you on this one, Jay, but I'm flipping the switch here. I think the 49ers are such a dangerous team right now, and I think the Cowboys have been known to choke in a big game. And if they're one and done, after the kind of season they've had, kind of up and down. I mean, they did lose to the Arizona Cardinals a few weeks ago. Let's not forget about that. I wanted to take Dallas because of the home field, but I'm going with an upset here, and I'm going to pick the 49ers to win this game. Remember, you made a good point. This is a pick'em game. The home field's worth 3 points. The line's Dallas minus 3. So it basically is a pick 'em game. If Garoppolo can find ways to make plays like he did last week, I think the 49ers can take this one.
That brings us to Sunday night. Big Ben and the Steelers. Big Ben lives again, right? Took out the Ravens last week, got himself into the playoffs. Unfortunately, this will be the final game of his career against Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. You know, listen, can the magic rub off? I don't think so. I mean, Mahomes is primed and ready for this. Wants to get to another Super Bowl. Wants to make a difference. You know, I don't see it. Kansas City's been on a good roll here. Pittsburgh, you know what? Give them a lot of props for getting into the playoffs. And this head coach and Tomlin, Mike Tomlin. But I don't see it even being close. Maybe I hope I'm wrong, but I see Kansas City decisively winning on Sunday night.
I agree with you, Jay. This is a double-digit favored home favored team here. I think it's 12.5 points. I think Kansas City is going to cause some turnovers. It's a nice story with Big Ben playing in this playoff game, and I saw some rhetoric about that they may be overlooking the Steelers and looking at next week's opponent, the Chiefs, that is. I don't see them losing this game. I see Kansas City coming out victorious, and maybe by as much as 2 touchdowns.
I agree with you on that. And then the final game from the weekend on Monday night. And well done by the NFL with the scheduling and all this stuff. But you have the Cardinals against the Rams. Cardinals have, you know, have had a couple of little stumbles, so to speak, some injuries and everything else. Yeah, we know the Rams have. I mean, how do you look? Think about the Rams. You had the game in hand with a minute and change to go last Sunday. You had the New Orleans Saints coming into play here. You also had that second seed already wrapped up until San Francisco beat you. Instead, you lose the game. You dwindle down into the fourth seed. Excuse me, fourth seed, right? Because they're playing Arizona. You dwindle down there, okay? And now you get the Cardinals at home. And that's not going to be easy. Not an easy opponent here. And you got to right that ship. You got to forget about what happened because you got a new season beginning. But I think the Rams will pull this one out. I think it's going to be a close game, but I definitely like the Rams over the Cardinals on Monday night.
I agree with you. I think the Rams have so much talent on both sides of the ball. I think Arizona is one of these teams that you sit there and you go, how can they start out the season like 7-0, 8-0? They were the only undefeated team at one point. And then they have some horrible losses. Just you know, games that you sit there and you go, how do they lose to this team? Last week was one of those. You're just not coming into the playoffs clicking on all cylinders, which I think hurts you. I don't know how you flip the switch and you turn it on and you find a way to win this one game, especially playing on the road in SoFiTel. I think the Rams find a way to win this game.
There you go. How about that? All righty. So, you know, we agree on a lot, but, you know, I like the Cowboys, you like the Niners. But I think we are gearing up. Now, this is one of my favorite weekends of the year. Now with the extra team, of course, that's why you're getting the extra game, folks. So, you know, you got 6 games, you got 2 byes, you got the Packers in the NFC, and you got the Titans. You want to give me a little fast forward, we'll have you on in betwixt and between, but who do you see in Los Angeles on February the 13th at SoFi for all the marbles?
Well, we talked about this once before, and we've talked off air about it as well. I like the Packers being the last team standing. And
right,
who they'll
Packers
be playing, I know you like them playing the Bills, I believe.
Yep, Packers Bills for me.
And yep. I think I'm going to go out on a limb a little bit here because there could be a few alterations here on this, but I'm going to go Packers versus the Chiefs.
Packers Chiefs. All right. That wouldn't be bad either. And let me tell you something. If Aaron Rodgers stumbles and does not get to the big game, forget it. He never will. He will never do it again. He's got one under his belt, I get it, but this is his year. If he can't find a way to get to SoFi in Los Angeles for the big game in February, and you know what? Maybe it's time to go to another team because it's all laid out for him. Everything goes through Lambeau Field and everything else. It's going to be an exciting time, and I tell you, you really want to push the envelope, folks. Okay? You want to push the envelope a little bit tomorrow? Will you have your games at 4:30 and around 8:15? Start out early, okay? Do your chores. Get it done. 2 o'clock, Islanders, Capitals, okay? Scotty's Capitals there from the nation's capital heading into play here at the UBS. And you start out early. It's a 2 o'clock puck drop, and then you go right from that to the Raiders and the Bengals. So you want to push it a little bit. Watch a little hockey before football.
Jay, I'm gonna go against that suggestion because I don't want too many of your listeners to have to be calling in that attorney for examination from the neck up.
But there you go.
The male counterpart in the family, and I'm gonna say, just be ready for some excellent football games all day long, and that's gonna be enough TV viewing. Now. If you're a hockey fan, you can go against me on that one, and I wouldn't be disappointed.
Good stuff. One final thought: baseball. They had some negotiations yesterday. Nothing came about. You know, and you don't expect anything, do you? You still have 4.5 weeks to spring training. You know the way these things go. At the 11th hour, when they start to lose some money, those owners, they'll put a serious offer, and then here we go. We'll have a season. I mean, do you think spring training will get underway, and even more so, the start of the baseball season? Or do you see something here where it just keeps going and going and going, these negotiations? Do you think there'll be an interruption of any kind in the scheduling?
I'm sticking with my original thoughts, Jay. From my understanding, I wasn't privy to the meetings, but the players completely rejected what was said. I think it was only about an hour-long meeting, and the players came away unhappy. I think there will be a delay in spring training, which will cause a delay for the start of the season.
Yeah. Listen, in all likelihood, they'll get something going here, but here's the problem. Two things, folks, to keep in mind. Two things that the owners will never, never agree to. One of them is lowering 6 years to 5 years. And that's when one can become eligible for a big contract. Okay? They're not going to agree to that so fast. Okay? The other one is raising the ceiling as far as the luxury tax. I don't know. Interesting stuff there. That's just two of the items on the table. I think they're going to be in an impasse for a lot of things here. It's going to take a miracle for everything to get underway properly, but we'll see. One thing we know for sure, there is football this weekend. Can't thank you enough. We'll have you back. More analysis. Should be a heck of a weekend, my friend. Enjoy it.
Jay, thanks for having me on. It's always a treat.